God tells us to be like children. A childlike heart, a childlike faith. I sincerely pray this nation returns to living a childlike patriotism as well. Like when we were kids, proudly reciting the pledge in class, waving the flag at parades. No one was kneeling, no one was sitting, just kid next to kid. Little black boys, little black girls standing with little white boys and little white girls, united under one flag, one nation, one idea. Do you remember that?
But there's nothing left in the emptiness of truth.
I don't fully know why or how this country has changed so much so fast, but it's unrecognizable from what it was when I was a kid. Or even more than that, it's unrecognizable from when my kids were smaller kids. It is hard to wrap my head around just how fast we are losing America. Story after story, the censorship, the chaos, the violence, the lies, the manipulation of our language, the one-party mainstream media, and the brainwashed electorate. But here's what I fear. If Biden is elected and they get the Senate, this country will transform at a speed we have never seen before. The far left will grasp this republic with their cold, evil fingers and grip it so tight we may never be able to shake it out of their hands. Tonight, I'm going to show you their plan to change the country forever. Biden's first 100 days. I'm tired of watching this country seep through our fingertips. I want my children and my grandchildren to experience that childlike patriotism that we were all so fortunate to live. We must fully understand what is at stake this November. Tonight,
the secrets you keep.
President Biden's first 100 days, America's dystopian future.
Hello, America. I want to welcome you to the program tonight. It is now just down to a handful of days before the election, and I want to make it absolutely clear what we're facing. We're not, I believe, in a battle with the Democrats or our neighbors or people who think differently than us. I believe we are facing evil. Evil that has distorted the truth on both sides at times. Nobody really even knows what's going on. But the radical left has targeted November 2020 as a movement-defining watershed moment. Every big government advance from Woodrow Wilson to FDR to LBJ will culminate in just a few short days if they win the White House and the Senate. The gloves from the Marxists are coming off. Everything that Obama promised back in 2008.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
The fundamental transformation of America is now going to be delivered. I've been saying for a long time now that one day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize that you don't recognize your country anymore. Many people have called me and written to me and said, Glenn, I don't recognize it. I want you to know, after the first 100 days of a Biden-Harris presidency, that is the catalyst for that change, and you are going to wake up 100 days in and feel like somebody just woke you up and you're in someone else's house. The country will be completely unrecognizable because we're not talking about Democrats. See, this election is not really about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. This is about Donald Trump. I love him or I hate him. And that Trojan horse is allowing real radicals to come in. I can't express to you how important tonight's show is. If you know somebody who is undecided, I would ask that you would let them know about this episode and see if they will watch it. Oftentimes, people say this next phrase in a hyperbolic way. This election is the most important in our lifetime. But tonight's show is going to point out how important it is. It's not hyperbole this time. We are showing this episode in full on YouTube, as well as Blaze TV and Pluto. And we ask that you share it with as many people as you can. If you're not a Blaze TV subscriber, but you have learned from us or you feel that what we offer is worthy of your money, I know how hard-earned it is. We're offering something that we consider the most important discount we've ever done. If you use the promo code Glenn, you're going to get $30 off the annual subscription. Big tech censorship is absolutely out of control right now, and I believe next Tuesday it will get worse. If the Democrats sweep the election, scratch that. If the Marxists scratch the election or sweep the election, it's going to get much, much worse than anything you've ever seen. In the battle of ideas, there is strength in numbers, and we have to come together. There is strength in truth and strength in numbers. Real power, if you know the facts. Join us at blazetv.com. Use the promo code Glenn. blazetv.com/Glenn, promo code Glenn, and save $30. The radicals have taken control now of the Democratic Party, and Joe Biden is a Trojan horse. Now, people think, it's just Joe Biden. He's no radical. He's literally the face of the Democratic Party establishment. Yes, that's what makes him so valuable. He's also not probably going to last very long because of the 25th Amendment, which Nancy Pelosi strangely just strengthened and made it easier, in case there's any problems. No one is looking to the vice president. The establishment, and he represents the establishment, is now a puppet of the radical left. I warned the Democrats back in 2006, if you play with these people, they are eventually going to eat you. You're playing with fire. You think you control them, but they will in the end control you. And socialists have been planning a total takeover of the Democratic Party for decades, literally. At the turn of last century, Woodrow Wilson opened the door. FDR expanded it by leaps and bounds. LBJ's war on poverty took the next leap. Biden and Harris now will bring it home. Speaking of LBJ, there might not have been a blueprint for the welfare state that he created without the help of a socialist and former Democratic Socialist of America chairman, Michael Harrington. Now, his book, The Other America, is credited with inspiring LBJ's war on poverty. Harrington knew that the DSA or any other blatantly socialist group would never be legitimate mainstream political party in the United States. So later in the 1980s, Harrington and the socialists shifted tactics. Why start a new party? That's doomed to fail. We've tried over and over and over again. Why don't we just infiltrate and take over the one that is already mainstream? But don't take my word for it. Here is the former DSA chairman in his own words. Watch.
You have a Democratic Party which contains some of the worst people in the country. Some of the outstanding racists, sexists, union busters, cold warriors, and God knows what else are in the Democratic Party. At the same time, that same party contains most of the best people. And if you say, this is a contradiction, this is an impossibility, this is something that shouldn't happen, I couldn't agree more. The problem is, this is America. This is what we get out of our structures, out of our party system. I believe that we have to change the party system. I believe that the kind of issues that are going to be on the agenda in the future are such that we're going to have to really face up to issues. But how do you change it? And I think the way you get a new party in the United States, ironically, is not through starting one. The last time that was done, more or less, was the Republican Party in the 1850s. The way you get a new party in the United States is by transforming an old party.
We're just a few days away from the transformation of the Democratic Party and America. Infiltration and takeover. That's what this is all about. It's the entire purpose for groups like Justice Democrats and their congressional foot soldiers, otherwise known as the Squad. Think back just a few years ago. Democrats had zero direction other than orange man bad. They had nothing during the midterms. And then Justice Democrats teamed up with a group that, if you watched me back when I was on Fox, you're very familiar with. The Tides Foundation, the progressive think tank Data for Progress. It's a project of the Tides Foundation. So a few months before the midterms, they released a full report called The Future of the Party that was commissioned by Justice Democrats. That report centered on how Democrats should shift their focus from catering to the center to a hard swing to the far left. In other words, radical left-wing populism. This is the report that you're seeing. It's effectively driving the agenda for the new Democratic Party. Remember, back before March, before Joe Biden won the nomination, the debates looked more like a national chapter meeting for the Democratic Socialists of America. Even NPR reported that the party had taken a drastic turn to the far left. Now, of course, they phrased it. They called it radical ideas. Everything, all of a sudden, was on the table. And these were just few of the radical ideas that NPR pointed out that were being floated by literally every Democratic candidate. Reparations, ending the filibuster, eliminating the Electoral College, ending private health insurance. Make no mistake, these are not radical ideas. These are major constitutional disruptions. Every single one of these ideas would need a significant edit in the U.S. Constitution that would lead to change on the level of, I don't even recognize my country. And for the parts of the Constitution and the country that are left unrecognizable, initiatives like the Green New Deal will swoop in and mop up. I don't care how soft a candidate, Biden or Harris, talk about their climate agenda. The things I'm going to show you tonight are all of the things that they have denied or won't answer, and it is their agenda. The Green New Deal. It is the party's platform. It is their key to radical left-wing populism. If there are any doubts as to what the new Green Deal is all about, look at this recent quote from the Data for Progress, again, also known as the Tides Foundation, co-founder. Quote, "Green jobs are overwhelmingly popular with voters. This is the future. The question is not if we get a Green New Deal. We will have a Green New Deal. The question is how much beautiful socialist BS we get out of it after we wrestle with the Blue Dogs." Blue Dog Democrats don't exist anymore. They're not in charge. Did you ever wonder why all of the Democratic nominees suddenly dropped out and all of them got behind Biden? At the time, the consensus seemed to be that of the establishment, that the establishment was scared of Bernie Sanders. But even Sanders was unusually cordial with what was going on. That's because something happened in the back rooms within the party. An agreement was made. Don't listen to me. Listen to this from Bernie Sanders.
"And these folks, needless to say, people who represented the progressive movement had a different perspective on things than did Biden's people. But there was serious discussion and I think a real honest effort to come up with a compromise. And I think the compromise that they came up with, if implemented, will make Biden the most progressive president since FDR.
By the way, they're talking about Bernie Sanders as our labor secretary and Elizabeth Warren as the Secretary of the Treasury. The most progressive president since FDR. Joe Biden? The mascot of the establishment? How does that even make sense? Unless Biden is not setting the agenda. A lot of attention for this clip centered on Sanders' callback to FDR, but not much was made of the mention of compromise. The fix is in. Anyone that voted for Biden simply because he wasn't Bernie Sanders will get Sanders and the leftist policies regardless. The radical left is now driving the Democratic train. Biden is just their more electable puppet. Now, FDR's name is getting invoked a lot lately, so are the words the New Deal. There's a very specific reason for that. In fact, the term, the first 100 days, was coined by FDR after he launched the New Deal, drastically changing our country. Have you noticed how Biden and his campaign have gone strangely silent over what his policies might look like if they win the election? He says it's a distraction. He won't clarify what he's going to do, and the mainstream media doesn't press him on it. Well, that's for a reason. If they revealed everything, they would lose every independent and moderate Democratic voter that they would hope would deliver them victory. What they're after is change beyond the level of the 1930s FDR. They want to go further than that. If you want to know what it might look like, you have to look at what the other Democrats in the party are saying. What are the operatives setting up? What are they preparing to do? What have the think tanks been working on? What are the things that are now being written in case of a win? Those things will be the first 100 days of a Harris Biden administration. If they can keep slipping up and saying it, why can't we? It's frightening. We continue in a minute. All right, I want to talk to you about home title lock. Home title theft, you better pray that this crime never happens to you or is currently happening to you, because you won't know about it until it's too late. There are our titles are all in, you know, digitally being held, and the government keeps all of them, and the banks watch over it. This is why you get a title check when you sell your house. Well, they don't check until you sell the house or until somebody is foreclosing on you. What the criminal does is forges your signature on a quick claim deed stating that you sold your home to him. You don't even know about it because the titles are just transferred. Then he takes out all kinds of loans and then he leaves and you're supposed to pay the bill. Well, you don't know it because he's given it a different address. By the time the cops show up to the house or the sheriff to say, you got to get out of the house, you're being evicted, it's too late. Home Title Lock protects you, will protect your home title. Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title, and the instant they detect any kind of tampering, they help shut it down cold. I want you to go to HomeTitleLock.com, register to see your address, to see if you're already a victim. Then use the promo code RADIO for 30 free days of protection. That's code RADIO at HomeTitleLock.com. Democrats are expecting to run the table next Tuesday. And if they get it, you can say goodbye to the freedoms that are protected under the Constitution. I know that sounds like hyperbole, but let me show you. And we are doing this show because I don't know how much longer we will be allowed to speak. And I know that sounds crazy, but I fear it won't be long. Maybe after the election, before we are silenced by big tech, but after the inauguration, they're going to pull out all the stops to ensure roadblocks in both the government and media are silenced and eradicated. Hear me out. University of California, Berkeley professor and former Secretary of Labor Robert Reich recently proposed a post-election commission to censor free speech and name and shame every public figure that has supported Donald Trump. Now, I want you to listen to this. When this nightmare is over, we need a truth and reconciliation commission. It would erase Trump's lies, comfort those who have been harmed by his hatefulness, and name every official, politician, executive, and media mogul whose greed and cowardice enabled this catastrophe. It gets worse. I shared something from a reasonable leftist today on Medium, where they said, what are we going to do with these people? Well, we should just love them. We need to do what we did to the Germans after Hitler was killed, or do what we did to the Japanese after that oppressive regime fell. They're serious. This is what oppressive Marxists do after they seize power. Following a coup, I know it's insane, and Reich has a fitting name, but he's not just some nobody. He is the former Secretary of Labor. He is well-respected, and leftists went wild after he said this. I looked it up. The evidence of this being plotted and planned go back 2 years by really important people. One of the responses to Reich's tweet was interesting. Check this out. And then we must ensure that this can never happen again. Expand SCOTUS, abolish the Electoral College, and grant statehood to D.C. and Puerto Rico. Everything mentioned in that tweet is exactly what the Biden campaign has curiously gone radio silent on. I want to go back to the Soros-organized war games. Please look this up for yourself. This is the Transition Integrity Project. Don't take my word for it. Please do your own homework. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are some of the biggest players in the Democratic Party. In their nightmare scenario, as they call it, Trump comes out with a clear and undeniable victory. Well, if Trump has a clear and undeniable victory, what do you do if you're trying to ensure the integrity of transition? You say, he won, let's move on, better luck next time. But if you want a quick look into the future, all you have to do is look at what they use as leverage to finally concede and let Trump win in what they say is a landslide victory. These pressure points are exactly the same things that they have planned for the first 100 days. And they are: give statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico, divide California into 5 states, revamp the Supreme Court, eliminate the Electoral College. Points 2, 1, and 4 are to ensure Democrats never lose an election. There will not be another conservative or Republican ever winning an election. This basically ensures that they hold both the presidency and the Senate indefinitely. And point 3 makes it easier for them to push through their radical constitution-defying agenda into the rest of the country. They want to fundamentally transform this country, and they want absolute power to make sure nothing stands in their way. They were disappointed in Obama. He didn't do it. They were angry after he left. It's why he's not so popular anymore with the left. Now they're making sure November 3rd is checkmate, and not with Joe Biden, but I believe with his running mate. Now, their war game. That's what it was. Now let me show you their war room. A coalition of progressives, both outside groups and current members of the Senate, have established a war room to quickly go into action on day one if Biden wins Tuesday. They're scared to death of a repeat of the first 4 years under Obama, and they are trying to make sure that never happens again. War room member Senator Jeff Merkley recently said this regarding the disappointment from the Obama years, quote, "Having lived through that horror film, they are not ready to watch it again," end quote. That's not Trump. That's Obama. Harry Reid is now heading the collaboration and is joined by other current senators and influential Democratic advisors like Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign manager, Fayez Shakur, He's a former White House aide, he joins another former White House aide, Dana Singster. Also, ex-communication for the Workers of America, President Larry Cohen. These outside groups attached to the war room include Indivisible Communications, Workers of America, Working Families Party, Brady Campaign, Demand Justice, Data for Progress, Evergreen Action, Stand Up America, and Common Cause. Data for Progress, that sounds so, oh, that's right. That is the one I showed you earlier there, the Tides Foundation, and the group that has been directing the Democratic Party's shift to the radical left-wing populism. Front and center on their to-do list is to scuttle the filibuster. Do you remember the Jimmy Stewart movie where Mr. Smith stood up and he was like, "And I'm going to keep speaking because I believe the American people." It is something that allows the American people to hear the other side, so things can't just be jammed through, and you need 60 votes to overturn it. Well, the Democrats, if they sweep the election, the filibuster will not be the only thing standing in their way of pushing through their radical agenda, but it will be a big one. Ending the filibuster has always, always been off limits. Sure, it sounds good if your party is in power, but it can bite you in the butt when you lose, unless you never lose. I'll show you later. They don't plan on ever losing again, and ending the filibuster opens the door for all of this to happen. And before you say, "Yeah, but it's Harry Reid." I mean, Harry Reid. Consider that Reid and a handful of Democratic senators are literally the only ones giving any kind of clarified comment on this right now. Everyone else either just won't deny it, but won't comment. The left, or the Democrats, I should say, are dodging the question of ending the filibuster entirely. NPR interviewed Reid just a couple of weeks ago, speaking very specifically about ending the filibuster. He's been talking about it for over a year, even writing this New York Times editorial. That exact month, in August, mainstream media outlets like The Atlantic began writing think pieces on why ending the filibuster should be priority number one if Democrats sweep. From within the Senate, Reid has allies like Senator John Tester, Senator Ed Markey, and Senator Dick Durbin. Here's Durbin when asked directly if ending the filibuster is now on the table. Watch.
Well, I can tell you the conversation about the future of the Senate rules is on the table, and I'm part of it.
Okay, that's all you need to hear. That's political speech for, yeah, we're going to end the filibuster. And we can't make that public right now. The third ranking Democrat in the Senate, Patty Murray, recently said she wouldn't commit to ending the filibuster, but they're not ruling it out. Come on. It's in their faces. They couldn't be more overt. This has obviously become the consensus now among the rank and file Democrats who want power. I don't think our neighbors. Remember, there was a compromise. The radicals are steering this ship. There are people you need to be listening to if you want a glimpse into the first 100 days. Biden won't say because he's not in control. Remember this debacle from the debate.
Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take in that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak.
I doubt he ever answers this question until sometime after the election. Biden is not going to be giving the information until after there is power. Now, that comes next Tuesday, November 3rd. If Joe Biden wins, but ending the filibuster is merely just the first step, it gets much worse than that. We'll show you next. If you suffer from frequent, often debilitating pain, then you and I have something in common. For years now, I went through day after day after day of pain so badly I couldn't stand it anymore. If we have that in common, maybe we have this in common. I had given up on a solution, and I just couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I am thankful every day that my wife heard about Relief Factor on this network, and I wasn't doing commercials for him at the time because I didn't think it would work. And she said, would you please, I'm sick of hearing you whine all the time, take it. I'm telling you, I took it and I got my life back. I still take it today, 3 times a day, every day. I've taken it for almost 3 years now. 70% of the people who order the 3-week quick start go on to order more, just like me, because it works. It's less than $20 to see if Relief Factor can help you the way it's helped me and countless others. The only thing you have to lose is your pain. I want you to call them right now at the number right here at the bottom of the screen, or just go to relieffactor.com. Do it now, relieffactor.com. I want to take you back to the website that I told you about earlier, the Transition Integrity Project. I want you to look this up. If you look at what point one and two was in that, number one, give statehood to Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Divide California into 5 states. These were part of what they called, quote, structural reforms to fix our democratic system to ensure majority rule. In other words, how do we rig the system so that we never, ever lose another election? That's what this is all about. And if it sounds nuts, creating 7 new states in that right there, the white part, I mean, you really? It would guarantee the Democrats never lose the Senate ever again. Now, I grew up in the Pacific Northwest. I've heard of this movement, Cascadia, for a very long time. It seems crazy to me, but serious people are talking about it. Now, if you start looking at the leverage to get this done, it's interesting. Team Biden used the threat of secession to persuade Donald Trump to go through with their structural reforms. The region they called Cascadia would secede from the Union if Trump didn't play ball. Cascadia comprises most of the northwestern coast. It's a large secessionist movement that is already active and has been for years in that area. But nobody's really taken it seriously. This archived article shows that the movement is still active and pushing for legislation to allow them to all secede. But these are just the useful idiots. The real goal here is to create multiple new states in Democrat-held strongholds to pack the Senate. The media, again, has been pushing for months on this. The Atlantic specifically has been going all out in support for this new era of radical left-wing populism. I want to show you a quote. Quote, when adding states, there is no back and forth. Whichever party strikes first wins. This is not about living together anymore. This is about winning. Strike first is exactly what they have in mind. The House already passed a bill to make D.C. a new state back in June. It's just sitting there waiting for a new Democrat-controlled Senate. Puerto Rico would follow soon after. A recent poll taken by the New York Times and Siena College found that, quote, an overwhelming margin, 59% to 26% respondents, said they supported statehood for Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. California and Cascadia would be harder to pull off, but multiple attempts to initiate the process have been going on for years now. Point four on the Transition Integrity Project list is structural reform. This means eliminating the Electoral College. I have been trying for weeks now to get people in the Trump administration and members of Congress to take a look at this report. I have actually had people in power say to me, well, is this a conspiracy site? No. John Podesta is involved in this. He played Joe Biden in the war games. This is mainstream now. And if you look at this, it's the Rand McNally, you know, convenience store roadmap to where the Democrats want to take us during the election, during election night, and after. And if they get power, these aren't nobodies. They're the top Democratic influencers in the country. And they have made it abundantly clear how the left feels about the Electoral College. Let me give you this little footnote. Quote, Tip recognizes and shares the view that the Electoral College is profoundly anti-democratic and that numerous long-standing practices also function to create structural biases in our voting system. Gotta be kidding me. Structural bias is exactly what the Electoral College protects us from. Why should a people that live in a small town in Nebraska be subservient to people that live in Los Angeles or Chicago or New York? Let everyone live their own life. James Madison called it the mischiefs of faction. There's only one thing to call majority rule when it oppresses minority rights, and that is tyranny. The founders knew that radical factions might one day try and impose their will on the country, whether that be an organization, political party, or religion. The Electoral College was built to stop it. Madison wrote, quote, The influence of factious leaders may kindle a flame within their particular states, but it will be unable to spread a general conflagration through the other states. This should be a huge wake-up call that everything I'm pointing out tonight, the things the Democrats, the radicals that have taken over the Democratic Party, have wanted to get rid of or change, these things are specifically designed to stop tyranny. It shows you what we're up against if Democrats sweep the election. Absolute domination and control. A month ago, Gallup did a poll to see how many Americans supported abolishing the Electoral College. 61%. They favored it. That includes 68% of independents and 89% of all Democrats. They don't understand what it is even for. The left clearly feels like they have a social contract to get this done. And the mainstream media has quietly set all of this up to, I mean, you can expect it. It is going to happen. Look at all of the negative reporting being done just this month. The Washington Post, CNN, here's Forbes. It's everywhere. And this is just the last couple of weeks. Democrats began setting the framework just 12 days after Donald Trump was elected. Just 12 days. A joint resolution to abolish the Electoral College was introduced in the Senate on November 15, 2016. A companion resolution was introduced in the House 2 months later. Just like creating new states and ending the filibuster, the groundwork has already been laid out. This is a graphic done by the Washington Post showing where every Democratic candidate stood on eliminating the Electoral College. Nearly every single one was for either reforming it or outright abolishing it. It is what has kept people free. Biden was one of the few that said he didn't support it. But remember, this is before the little compromise with the far left. If Democrats take the Senate, do we really think that Joe would go against his own party on this? There isn't any way. Biden is not in control, but the worst yet is to come. Back in a minute. I truly hope to God that I am wrong, and none of this comes to pass. And I hope to God that I am wrong, and they don't execute the things they say. They already have 200 groups ready to protest. They don't even know what the election's going to say. They have 200 groups around the country ready to protest. If our country is set on fire like Philadelphia has been the last few, we are going to find ourselves in real danger financially. If Elizabeth Warren is the Treasury Secretary, Bernie Sanders, our Labor Secretary, may I strongly urge you to take time today or tomorrow or the next day, but you are just a couple of days now away from the election. Contact Goldline now. Find out how you can put a portion of your money, anything that you have, just 10% of it, into precious metals. Be prepared for the worst. We'll hope for the best, but be prepared for the worst. I want you to go to Goldline right now at 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE. They have 1 week left on their special gold offering, and they just introduced a new silver special that will be available for an extremely limited time. Call to find out how to take advantage of these limited time offers. Do it now. They're standing by to talk to you at 866-GOLDLINE, 866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. All right, let me give you a quick recap. In the first 100 days of a Joe Biden presidency, Democrats will end the filibuster, making their reforms impossible to stop in the Senate. They would then sign multiple new states into the union, ensuring that they never lose another election. They double down on the odds by eliminating the Electoral College. The only thing standing in their way of completely ripping apart the Constitution would be the Supreme Court. I know this all sounds crazy, but this is all in their own words. Progressives have been salivating over the Supreme Court since the 1930s. It is their ultimate roadblock. They've been planning this for decades. Amy Coney Barrett was not the catalyst. Point three for structural reforms in the Transition Integrity Project was reforming the Supreme Court. Well, Ginsburg died over a month after this little war game was put out. But wait, I thought it was about Amy Coney Barrett. Look how everybody on the left reacted Monday night after Barrett was sworn in. AOC made it clear we already know what we have to do. Rashida Tlaib revealed even more. We must expand the court. If we're serious about transformational change, the people are crying out for. Wait a minute. This has nothing to do with Republican fairness or going back on their word. It doesn't have to do with anything with Amy Coney Barrett. They want to push constitutional defying transformational change. Our Democratic friends are being lied to. Those who trust the party are being lied to. The ideas from the far left are now driving the Democratic Party. They would have never dreamt of saying these things in public in the past. But people like AOC and Tlaib, they would have been mocked on both sides. But now, their propaganda is being regurgitated by the establishment leadership. If they win next Tuesday, they know exactly what they're going to do. Chuck Schumer has said enough. So has Chris Murphy. He said the same kind of stuff. Will Democrats go to new extraordinary lengths to maximize their power, given the extraordinary lengths that Republicans have gone to maximize their power? This is not a conversation that is ripe enough yet, but what do the Republicans expect? Again, using a Trojan horse. These aren't threats. The 60-vote majority rule will be gone. The filibuster will be gone. There will be new states, no electoral college, and the final obstacle is the court that interprets the Constitution. It will be manipulated into some sort of autocratic cheerleading section. Now, I don't really care what Joe Biden thinks or feels about all of this because he's not the one in control here. A deal has been struck. But it is very telling how he handled the idea of court packing and Supreme Court manipulation, both today and in the past. I want to show you something he said in 1987. Look.
But the committee report went further still. The executive attempts to dominate the judiciary led to an autocratic dominance, they said, the very thing against which the American colonies revolted and to prevent which the Constitution was in its very particulars framed. The report concluded with a final thundering sentence. Before the day was out, it would be heard round the world. Quote, it is a measure which should be so emphatically rejected that its parallel will never again be presented to a free representative of a free people in America. My case today about the role of the court is rooted in history, precedent, and I would argue common sense.
He just said that history, precedent, and common sense mandated the court stayed the way it was designed to be. This is clearly what he used to believe. So why the change of heart? Even the mainstream media and their propaganda outlets started to notice that Biden had gone full-on radio silent on what he was planning on doing. He even went so far as saying that voters don't deserve to know his stance on packing the Supreme Court. How does anyone vote for that? This is what Kamala Harris had to say when she was asked point blank whether the Supreme Court should be altered. Watch.
Should the Supreme Court be expanded?
I think that, first of all, Joe's been very clear that he is going to pay attention to the
fact. She looks like when I catch a 3-year-old, lying about eating all the chocolate cake. It's all over the face. The reason why Democrats are such bad liars is because they're not used to having to defend themselves. It couldn't be more clear here. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris have been giving their marching orders. Don't discuss this until we tell you it's okay. Don't do it until after the election. It will come out and you will fully understand once the election has been had. But if you want a little preview, listen to this from Joe Biden on 60 Minutes just last week.
If elected, what I will do is I'll put together a national commission of bipartisan commission of scholars, constitutional scholars, Democrats, Republicans, liberal, conservative. And I will ask them to, over 180 days, come back to me with recommendations as to how to reform the court system, because it's getting out of whack, the way in which it's being handled. And it's not about court packing. There's a number of other things that our constitutional scholars have debated, and I'd look to see what recommendations that commission might make.
So you're telling us you're going to study this issue about whether to pack the court?
No, whether there's a number of alternatives that are go well beyond packing.
This is a live ball.
Oh, it is a live ball. No, it is a live ball. We're going to have to do that.
He confirmed that he now believes in altering the Supreme Court, but going way beyond court packing. Just that first part is insane. But the National Coalition, that sounds exactly like Woodrow Wilson in the 1918 era. You can see how they are going to break the Constitution, and there's no other way to describe it. This is one of the more scary things we've heard. What else on these constitutional scholars debate next after they manhandle the courts? Private property? Second Amendment? Price controls? Nationalizing banks or industry? We will see. I so strongly urge you, if you weren't planning on voting this election because you don't like either candidate, I get it. But we cannot play around this time. You have to vote or we won't have freedom. If you love the country, what it stands for, what our founders built, vote against Biden and the Democrats.